All right, guys, welcome to the show. Today I've got someone that I've actually been communicating with for several months. He also runs a podcast, and he actually also has a magazine, which is interesting to me. I've never had anyone on the show that has their own magazine. Today on the show, I've got someone named Marin Barquette. He's here today to share his story, and we figured we'd talk a little bit about podcasting and interviews because he also runs an interview show, like I said. So welcome, Marin.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me here in the Voice of Marketing. I'm very honored to be able to talk with your audience today.
Yeah, no problem. So I guess, do you want to kind of share your story and how you got started and, anything to do leading up to online marketing and podcasting?
Sure. So basically, I always say I was pretty much born an entrepreneur. When I was 6 years old, I was fixing the computer at my kindergarten. And I don't know, somewhere around the age of 13, I became a certified PC technician, started fixing computers for money. It developed. I opened my own business when I was, I don't know, 16. And things were going pretty great. Somewhere 2 years later or so, I was looking for to get someone to put some capital into the business to actually scale it up. And I actually found someone who was willing to invest money, but his terms were that he gives me advice and I prove that I can follow it. So I did, and I followed his advice, and it crashed my business.
Oh,
So
really? So what did they suggested something, and this was for like building computers and computer.
No, this was a software development business,
Oh, okay.
and we at the time I was developing. It was the early days of WordPress, and I was developing a paid content management system that was competing against WordPress. And we were actually doing better than WordPress in terms of SEO and all of that. Well, WordPress still doesn't do very well on SEO without plugins. So he said, charge 100 times less and get 100 times more customers, which, when I think back, is a horrible idea because it's basically forcing scale with no growth.
Right.
Basically, have a lot more customers, a lot more people to support, but you're making the same amount of money. So why would that be a good idea? I don't know. But back then, he was the expert, so I did what he said, and I was just so overwhelmed by the hours I needed to put in to support all these new customers, that the business just slowly choked. And what can I say? WordPress obviously has won.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know plugins can be pretty competitive too, and people price range stuff, varying depending on what it can really do.
Well, so consider the fact that the development was really slow because it was me and another girl, and development was slow because we spent all the time in support. Meanwhile, WordPress was taking giant leaps. Free plugins were taking giant leaps. So we really didn't have a competitive angle, and I was very tired, very frustrated. And at the time, I got a phone call from someone who knew me, and he said, listen, I know you're into websites and stuff like that. What do you know about internet marketing and SEO? So I told him, well, I know quite a lot because I had to in order to develop our system to be good with SEO. And he had a company, and he decided to start a department that will do internet marketing. So I made a decision to move to corporate with basically the promise that I'll be able to carry on doing pretty much what I was doing and what was interesting to me. Now, as it often happens, once I was at the first day at the job, the terms changed, and I stayed in corporate for 2 years, but we never opened that internet marketing department. And I was in corporate, working with very big customers, illusioned that that made me someone important. I would sit with customers like Mastercard, American Express, Motorola, and slowly I realized that I'm dedicating 300 hours a month to building someone else's life instead of my own. And that was right. It was a hard time for me. I was also after a car accident and was in general bad shape. And I was stuck. I felt very stuck. And then I started listening to podcasting. And I found Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income that I know you appreciate too. And I think he was on your show. And I started listening to Pat and Pat just got my entrepreneurship mojo back, basically.
Yeah.
I was listening to his podcast for a few months, started listening to some other podcasts, and decided I'll quit my job and go back to the one thing I was destined to do, which is entrepreneurship. So I quit my job I was just about to finish 2 years in corporate. I quit my job. And if you remember, I said I was brought there to start an internet marketing department. Well, when we got started, we decided that our training material will include the 30 Days Challenge by Ed Dale and Dan Rain, if you're familiar with it.
I'm not.
Okay, so the 30 Days Challenge is a free 30 Days boot camp that teaches people from zero to internet marketers how to start an online business and promote it on social media, Google, all of that. So I was on Ed Dale's list, and just as I left corporate, I got an email from Ed saying, I'm about to launch something amazing, join my Google Hangout, which was very exciting because it was the first days of Google Hangout too. So it was like, ooh, technology.
Yeah.
And on his Hangout, he shared his platform called Magcast to create digital magazines via the Apple Newsstand platform. So basically create your own digital magazine and have Apple as the distributor, basically.
Right.
So I thought, this is pretty amazing. It's like knowing about Google back in 1995 kind of thing, knowing where it's going. So I had this big vision of what's going to happen with this. So I bought into the platform, and then I needed to launch my magazine. And I was thinking for a good 2 or 3 weeks, what am I going to write about? I mean, I could do a dog lovers magazine. I mean, everybody knows in internet marketing that dog training is like the number one niche, basically. So I could do a dog magazine. I have a dog. I love it. But, you know, would I have something to write about? I don't know. I had all sorts of ideas. I had like pages over pages of ideas. And finally, I realized what I really want to do is spread the word of people like Pat and reach people that are stuck like me and inspire them to make this change and to create something for themselves that inspires them instead of dedicating their life to someone else. So that's how Inspiring Innovation was born, basically. It's a magazine dedicated to inspire innovation.
Right. So, I mean, I believe you started the magazine before the podcast, correct?
Yeah. The magazine was launched in August 2012, and the podcast was launched this year in May 2013.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, when you went into actually creating the magazine, was your intention to eventually start the podcast as well, or was it sort of like a progression?
No, I didn't think of podcasts whatsoever. For many reasons. I just, it didn't occur to me as a good idea. So I started the magazine, and I went to a mastermind group a few months after I launched, and I asked in the mastermind, how can I get more people to know about the magazine and read and become subscribers, basically, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And they all said, look, you have, because it's an iPad magazine, we have interactive material. So I was doing interviews in video and putting them inside the magazine, inside an article. So you could either read the article or watch the original interview. So they said, you already have these videos. Why don't you just strip out the audio and create a podcast? You know, easy enough. So I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that someday. And, you know, it was on the to-do list, but not high enough.
Right.
And that was September 2012. And from September all the way to December, up until the end of the year, I was working very hard to improve the system behind the magazine to make it take less time to produce an issue, to improve the quality and get a professional designer, all of that. At the end of December, I decided to attend the New Media Expo, which I hope we might meet at this year. So I went to the New Media Expo, where I met a lot of very interesting podcasters. And podcasting was the next big thing. I don't know if you had John Lee Dumas on your show yet.
Not yet, no. But I've talked to him about it. He said that he actually told me he's working on a new, it's actually a podcaster's.
John has just launched a new product for podcasters, and he was very busy. It helps, I'm waiting in the line too, if it helps.
Yeah, we had scheduled an interview in October, but he actually canceled it on me and told me that he's going to put all his focus into that product. Mm. I don't know, did you join? I actually joined for it was an early bird special. No, you could get in. I think it was $200.
I didn't join yet, but I know it's a great product. And John knows what he talks about. And I got talking a lot with John at the New Media Expo, and I realized that podcasting is not a opportunity, but a huge opportunity to reach a much bigger market than I had realized. So at the time, the magazine had about 6,000 readers. Okay, I got to work. I launched in May. I don't remember what happened between why it took so long. I think it was buffering up new interviews, so I'll know. I'll be good to go. And from May till the beginning of this month, which we're recording on September, the podcast has reached over 40,000 unique downloads. Wow. Which is an amazing statistic especially compared to the magazine, which led me to completely shift my focus. And now my entire focus is on the podcast, the magazine being something that still exists, but my main focus and the way I target my content is audio podcast. And yeah, that's how we got here, basically.
That's amazing that do you think that, I know when I spoke with you, I think over email or Facebook, when we spoke months back, you had said, you know, that you had the magazine, so that was kind of like a boost for you to actually get the podcast started, because you already had somewhat of an audience. You mentioned you had 6,000 people subscribed to the magazine.
I actually didn't reach out to the audience of the magazine subscribers about the podcast, because I thought they'd be pissed that they are paying for a magazine subscription and now it goes out for free as a podcast.
Right.
So I never reached out for them, but I did reuse interviews that we had for the magazine on the podcast, obviously. I think the biggest advantage of having a magazine is at the New Media Expo, I could walk over to someone like Rand Fishkin, CEO of SEO Moz, and say, hey, Rand, I'm a big fan of what you do. I am the editor of Inspiring Innovation magazine. How would you like to be our cover story? And being a cover story on a magazine still sounds a lot more impressive than being on a podcast episode.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, not a lot of people. I haven't really talked to anyone in this space, in the internet marketing space, that actually runs and owns a magazine.
Yeah, so it makes you stand out, and it creates instant authority, because a magazine is just something that right now pulls more weight than a podcast, even though I think in terms of building an audience, podcast by far is the number one strategy today, period. No matter what you want to do online, you've got to have a podcast.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are talking more and more about it lately, and it's becoming a much bigger thing.
Well, Apple has just announced that there are more than 1 billion podcast subscriptions. Amazing. And I think recent statistics show that one in every 7 citizens in the U.S. listens to a podcast. These are huge, huge numbers. Considering the fact that on a podcast, you get to engage with your audience. You get undivided attention. It's not like they're skimming through your blog. You get undivided attention for 15, 20, 25, 45 minutes, depending on your show.
Yeah.
45 minutes of undivided attention. Let's say the average time someone spends on a blog is what, 2 minutes tops? So you could, in 3 months of podcasting, have the same effect as 1 million unique page views in terms of time that people spend with you.
Right.
And yeah. And we were talking off the record. What does it take to get started? $30 microphone?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were just talking. I know. I actually forgot to ask. Is the microphone you have, is that the same one as mine, or is it different?
Mm-hmm.
It is the same one.
Audio-Technica ATR-2100.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've got the mixer. I'm not using a mixer. I'm just going straight USB into the machine. But, you know, this is a $30 microphone, and I think all I got with it, for anyone that's on the video watching, I basically just got this little, like, poof thing that goes on top of it, just the cover. I don't think you have one, but I think it showed on Amazon, like, other people buy this too, you know?
I have it here. I just don't use it. It's a matter of your microphone technique, basically. For those of you watching the videos, you can see I'm talking over the microphone, which means you don't need one of these. If I'd be talking like this, I would need one of these to avoid popping peas. Altogether, like, this thing costs $2.
So, right. Yeah, I think it was like $2 or $3.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like this microphone. I've had I had one of the biggest interview show hosts on my show recently, Andrew Warner from Mixergy,
mm-hmm.
and he actually complimented my sound quality prior to us starting. So I must be doing something right.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and Andrew has a high quality and pretty pricey microphone. If I remember correctly, he has some Rode microphone, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, podcasting, huge.
So I mean, what else? In terms of actual podcasting, like, did you get featured in iTunes when you started your podcast? I know a lot of people talk about, like, when you're launching, you know, if you really want to get some eyes on your podcast, if you get it featured in whatever category it is, you know, probably like business, marketing. But
So the podcast was featured number one in New and Noteworthy Business Management and Marketing, on Higher Education, and on Technology News. So I received 3 number one positions from Apple,
wow,
which obviously was a huge boost to the exposure. And this is actually what makes podcasting so effective for someone who doesn't have an audience. Apple will get you the audience.
Yeah.
If you make a good show and adhere to their guidelines, which basically say launch with 3 episodes and a good artwork, if you'll do these 2 or 3, and you can get some of your friends to download and review for the first few days, you're going to make it. There's no other way right now. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's something like right now, I actually only have, I don't think it has enough to show, but I haven't really pushed like the actual, comments and reviews on my podcast. I only have, I think, 3 reviews right now. They're all 5 stars, but it doesn't show in iTunes because it just says something like, you know, it doesn't have enough to, mm-hmm. you know, leave an accurate review. But well, I know, I mean,
would be a good point in time to say, if you enjoy John's podcast, please go over to iTunes and review it so it can grow and become even more awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's like amazing to me, because you mentioned you had 40,000 downloads. I think last I checked, I really only had, I want to say it was honestly only a couple hundred, because mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, it's, unless people are looking for it right now, I don't think they're really going to find my show on iTunes.
Yeah, that's a problem. When you launch your podcast, you really want to take good use of the help Apple can give you in terms of exposure, because it's really hard to do that afterwards. It's possible. There are some techniques you can use, but definitely you want to take that into account when you launch and not afterwards. And if anybody wants to learn more about this, when is this interview going to be live?
I'm thinking probably early October. So probably like...
Okay, so on October 10th, I'm launching the Inspiring Innovation Podcast Bootcamp, which is a 14-day free course that will teach you anything I know about podcasting, and with 10 years experience in radio, there's quite a lot. I think I can help you. So if you're interested in that, and we'll go through everything I did to get featured on You Are Noteworthy, feel free to go to iipodcast.com/bootcamp, and you'll find it there.
Yeah, I'll leave a note in the show notes and people can check that out. I'll definitely be going through it myself, especially if it's free. And I know you've been doing it. 100%
free. And you will not be pitched during the boot camp. It's just my way of giving back to this amazing community.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good. I think, anything to do with that. I mean, really the only tutorial I've been through was Pat Flynn's tutorial. And I think his, it's not too long. I wouldn't consider
Pat has a great tutorial. I think the problem with Pat, because it's one blog post, I wanted to do something that really covers all the bases, and that just takes more content. There's nothing wrong about Pat's guide. I wanted to give A, more of what I think is missing, and B, be less technical about it. I think many of the online tutorials, they go very deep into the technicalities of how to set everything up. And I think many people are afraid and think podcasting is something that only techie people can do, and that's far from being true. You don't need to understand how RSS feeds work, and you don't really need to understand how WordPress works. It's a lot simpler than that, and this is what I'm going to try to convey. A podcast is a product. It's like a book in a bookstore or a CD album or something in the supermarket. There's a big shop called iTunes where you can find it, and it needs to have an appealing look for someone to pick it up from the shelf, and it needs to be good for someone to come back and take it again. And basically that's all there is to podcasting. All the technicalities and MP3 tagging can be done later, which is what I do in the course. We first go through what a podcast really is and what it should be. And only at the very end, we handle the technical stuff once you have a clear image of what you're trying to achieve. So I hope it'll be helpful for people that did get baffled so far with the guides. And as I said, I even though I've been podcasting, I've learned a lot from Pat's guide. I think seeing the behind the scenes of something like someone like Pat, or someone like Cliff Ravenscroft, who also has a good guide, seeing the behind the scenes of people like that is always very beneficial.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. And I still feel like, like you said, Pat has his tutorial that's free, but I know a lot of other good resources out there are like, actual paid courses. I think the one that Cliff Ravenscroft have, his is like really expensive, if I remember looking.
Yeah, Cliff has a $2,000 course, but he does have Podcasting 101, I think it's called, which is a series of 8 videos that are available for free and are very good and very educational. But again, Cliff is more of a technical person, so he will teach you a lot of the technical stuff, which is important. I agree. But I found with the people I've been working to help them start a podcast that it can get very confusing very quickly.
Right. No, I mean, for me, I know, I'm not going to dig into it too much, but there's a plugin that you can get for WordPress and setting that up and, making sure everything's correctly set up with WordPress. But, if you're someone who's never used WordPress and you don't even have WordPress set up, I mean, you're kind of jumping way ahead. And even going through Pat's tutorial, his assumption is you're already familiar with WordPress.
I'm so happy you just said that, John, because I have an entire day in the course dedicated to how to set up WordPress and what WordPress is and how to get a domain. And that stems exactly from the same place. I was showing someone, a client of mine, through Pat's guide, and I could just see that, there was a disconnection there. They were like, okay, wait, what do you mean WordPress plugins? What's WordPress?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had learned WordPress myself, and I've spent the last 4 years like playing with it and building websites, and I've done a site for a friend. So like for me to see that, it's like, oh, okay, but for someone who's never even done it, it's completely a whole new game. And it's funny too, because I even I'm currently working on a product with someone. He actually created the product, but he had this membership site he built with an HTML site. And I really liked his content. You know, he had launched this product on the Warrior Forum, the internet marketing forums. And I reached out to him and was like, I can make your product look really awesome when people sign up for this. So I've been developing a membership site for him with WordPress, and he just does not know how to use it. But it's working out really well because he has like some experience doing, designing landing pages and things like that. And he's created all the content. So he's actually agreed to go in 50-50 with me on all sales of the product from here on out once we relaunch it. And, I'm going to help him continue to manage the site and help with support and make sure that, you know, no one's getting into it that shouldn't be, things like that, that he just wouldn't have that experience because he doesn't know WordPress like I do. So,
And, 50-50 is always, 50% is a lot better than 100% of nothing.
Yeah, so. I mean, even as an affiliate, I might have been able to make more, but because we'd be splitting everything, what's cool is like, let's say you went and went and promoted this product. If you made a sale, we would split 50% of those commissions made from other people selling it as affiliates. So, it's pretty cool. So I'm excited about that. That's something up and coming for me that I've been working on as well a lot recently too. So, but, are you like, I know obviously, so you've got this course coming out on the 10th and it's free. Have you thought about like any, I don't know what you're doing, like in terms of monetization for your podcast. Obviously you have the magazine. I'm sure you're making some money if you've got all those subscribers and they pay for that already. Are you thinking of anything in terms of, like podcasting, how you might start monetizing that?
Well, I'm negotiating with some sponsors for the show, for the Inspire Innovation podcast. I just want to make sure it's a good match to my audience. I don't want to just take up something that will pay for the show but will give no value to my audience. I think would not be honest for me to do that. And my loyalty is first and foremost to my audience. So there's sponsorships that are being negotiated, and we'll see. Towards the end of the year, we can do the interview again, and I'll share some of the stuff. Right now, it's in the making, so I'm keeping it a secret for now.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'll be on the lookout for it. I know. I feel like your emails are few and far between on your email list. I'll see them, and I'm like, because I've noticed that, I'm assuming you're probably spending more of your time on the actual podcasting.
Email list is something so crucial, and I can get a lot better with it.
Yeah.
But I'm about to launch the bootcamp and a new podcast, and with the new podcast, you'll see more activity on the email list too. I'm going to launch Inspiring Innovation Pro, which is basically going to be the getting your hands dirty with actual techniques part of the podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
We will have many of the same interviewees, but really dig deeper into the strategy and tactics that they use on a daily basis, and not just their story.
Right. Yeah, I've been kind of like with my show, I've been sort of trying to focus on a story because I think people can relate or connect with other people's stories and how they got started. I think that's always important. But then what I've been really trying to do is, dig more into information that's valuable. I've had a lot of people on already now that since we're using the Hangouts and we're doing video, we'll do screen shares and then we'll actually go over things. I had someone share like a website where he sold like coffee makers, for example, and we went through and showed everything. So I thought that was really cool. And that's something a little unique. I don't know how many people are really doing something like that, but.
No, actually not many. If I'd thought about it beforehand, I would have prepared something to share, but we're going to have to keep that to the next time. But that's actually a pretty cool idea. And
yeah.
By the way, speaking of getting more audience, is your podcast available only as audio or video too?
It's, well, what I've done, and this is sort of following, just listening with Pat Flynn, and I follow closely another interview show host named Mike Thomas of the Mike from Maine show. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he does, he does his interviews on video. So I've basically been sort of following Pat's idea of the Be Everywhere strategy, which is just, I've got my podcast, so it's available on Stitcher and available on iTunes. And then I also have all the videos like this video is uploaded to a YouTube channel that I've created called Voices of Marketing. And I recently actually reorganized the entire thing, and it's set up as a playlist within YouTube. So if someone goes to any of the shows, they're right in order from one to, this will be, I think, 31. And, you know, it's easy for people to go through it. And then in every show on YouTube, I've got a link back to the blog post where I talk about the show and, you know, what we talked about, any resources or links that were mentioned.
Well, what I can suggest for you to get more exposure from Apple is actually launch a video podcast, basically using the same videos, but this will give you, again, an ability to get into the new and noteworthy section and get some Apple traction. Because we have so many episodes already, you could launch and make it a daily podcast for the first 30 days and get a lot of downloads on it, or make it, every 2 days, and then the 30 episodes will fill in 2 months, which is the time you can stay in the new and noteworthy, and just use the existing videos in the Apple's new and noteworthy video podcast section, which is also, there's quite a lot of traffic there and very low competition. And you can use that to get a ton of exposure.
Yeah, I didn't know. Honestly, I did not even know that there was a video-based podcast in iTunes.
Yep.
Although I'll admit I'm not even like really in iTunes all that much, looking at all the other podcasts. I'm subscribed to a few, but I've sort of been out of the loop for a while because I used to listen to Pat Flynn's podcast on my commute to work because I drove 30 miles one way. It was almost an hour commute. And I bought a house in June, and my commute is now like 2 miles, and my CD player / iPod adapter stopped working. So I've been listening to, Robin Thicke's like new song like over and over and over. It's driving me insane, but you know, I haven't been able to listen to a podcast in the car for like months now because of that. It's a bit disappointing, but I'm hoping soon I'm actually looking at getting into a new role, and that might bring on another longer commute. It would be for a much better job, so I'd be really excited about it because I still work full time. I actually work in software support. You know, I know you mentioned earlier you obviously did software development. I kind of grew up even in the same avenue of going for like hardware and, fixing computers. That was like my thing growing up too.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping that, you know, if I can get myself back into a better position, I just don't find myself as apt to like sitting in a room and then listening to a podcast as opposed to driving in the car and listening to it.
I started listening to it to podcast mainly when I take a long walk or when I work out. That's the only time, because I listen to podcasts when I wash the dishes, when I walk the dog, and when I go out for a run. That's what works for me also, since I don't commute now. As long as I was commuting, that was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I have been doing as of recently is I have an older laptop that I leave at my work, and when I go on my lunch breaks, I would bring it in and I'd try to be somewhat productive, but usually people come in and talk to me and it's just difficult. But if I end up listening to something, people are less likely to come in and start chatting with me. So I actually listened to, I think the last one I listened to was one of your episodes. I just sat in, I'll sit in the break room for an hour and just listen to a podcast, and that's enough time to get through a whole episode.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
I think it was the episode you had with, you did one with, it was with a fellow regarding like organization. I think you had recommended it to me because he had used some tools.
That must be Ari Maisel probably.
Yeah. I think that might be it, but yeah, it was a good episode. I liked, and it's funny for me because I feel like I need to listen to more podcasts to see how people are doing things, because for me, I know a lot of people do this, like Pat does it, is you guys start out sometimes where you're like talking about current events and like what's going on, and you talked about recent travels and things you've been doing. Like, I really barely have talked about myself in any of my shows. I just focus on jumping straight in and getting my interviewees to share their story.
Well, we've been talking. I think your personality and story comes through the interview. Like, we talked a bit about your story and how it's similar and where the similarity points are to my story. So I think it does come out. If you check my latest episode, it's actually the shortest intro I ever done.
Oh, really?
I really did like zero intro and went straight into the interview like you do usually. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely playing around with it. I think Pat has a longer intro habit, but I think it also changes over time and changes with the audience.
Yeah, I mean, every episode he seems to be doing new things, and you know, I know he does like those little catchy things with his intro and outro videos and stuff like that. But I like that people can be creative and always coming up with, you know, new ideas and ways to, you know, kind of keep an audience engaged, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask this too, and this is something someone I interviewed actually gave me this idea. There's a question that I wanted to start asking all the people I interview, and it just sort of pertains to my show. I guess what I wanted to ask was, you know, how did you find your voice online? Like, was there a certain point that, you know, you reached maybe a goal or a milestone that you were just really happy with the success you were having, and, you know, something that, you know, really just stood out to you?
This sounds like two different questions. How did I find my voice was one, and the other one was, did I reach a point where I felt that I made it? Did I understand correctly? It sounds to me like two different questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a new question for me. I was hoping to maybe, you know, start using like this particular part of my interview as a clip, and maybe turn it into some sort of product where I could say, okay, you know, everyone that, you know, I could ask during my shows how people found their voice, and that in a way I'm thinking more of like where they hit a point of success, I suppose. I mean, it's sort of hard to figure out for me. I'm still in process of like figuring out, okay, how do I want to like formulate this? Like, what does that really mean? You know?
Well, finding your voice it's a hard question. I don't know if I found my voice, like it's still changing, but I think you start finding your voice, or you start the journey to finding it, when you stop trying to do something like someone else and just start doing what feels right to you and see what resonates with your audience and carry on experimenting. I think there's so many best practices of how you should do an intro to a podcast.
Right.
But if your way of intro is what resonates with you, if that's what you'd like to hear, that might be your voice. Maybe you don't need to do a longer intro like I sometimes do, or like Pat does, or you know, Andrew Warner does a very short intro on his show. So I think it's mainly a matter when you get enough confidence to just say, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And see what happens. I think that's where the journey starts. I have no idea where it ends or if it ever ends, but that's how it starts.
Right.
And reaching success, I got to tell you, every time I get an email from someone who listens to the podcast, I feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
Just celebrate all the achievements along the way and don't wait for one big achievement, because it's about the process, not about a single event that will make you successful or make you unsuccessful. It's about the process that you're going through that's so amazing. And I mean, look at how much you achieved with voice of marketing in such a short time. It's amazing. So, you know, when I got started, I thought Pat Flynn would never agree to interview for me. Like, I was waiting and I was scared about it and I didn't even ask. It took me weeks to even fire him an email, but he said yes, like within 24 hours. And, you know, and now I met him a few times in person, and a lot of the things, it's about a process, not about a single event.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in all, you know, this obviously, the, you know, podcasting and interviewing in general is a process. You know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of consistent effort, and that's what I've found is this has been the most consistent of anything I've spent any time with online since I've really started anything to do with online marketing.
And you know, I think it was James Altucher who said that as long as you'll be consistent, you'll be making progress. Like even if it's, if you're filling up a bucket and you only get a few drops in every day, at some stage the bucket will fill up basically.
Yeah.
And it's the consistency and taking action that matters a lot more than anything else.
Right. I mean, I figured, you know, even for me, like, you know, in talking with Mike Thomas about this, of Mike from Maine, he, you know, mentions that every person that he interviews, he's building a relationship with. And I know for him, he was able to launch a product through all those people. And that's kind of how he created an info product, you know, based off the interviews he was able to do. So mm-hmm. That's kind of exciting for me too. Like every time I interview someone, I just feel like I'm making progress regardless of however many people may have listened to it. Even for me, I'm learning from every single person that I interview.
Yeah, when I got started with the magazine, I said, I hope that I'll inspire, but in terms of business, like monetization of it, the monetization plan was either I'll get enough subscribers to make a good income, or over a year I'll get to interview and interact with these amazing people, and that will be worth a lot more than any monetary value. And that's how it's been for me. So I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I figured we could probably wrap this up. I think we've been on about 40 minutes or so now. I think you've shared a lot. I really appreciate you taking the time to come out today. I know for me, I had to sacrifice a little bit of sleep because it's about 7 a.m. Well, 8 a.m. now, but
I appreciate the invitation. And sorry you had to wake up so early. I wake up at 5 a.m. I recommend you to do the same. But
I wish I could get into that habit. I'm right now. It's funny because I work my day job. I actually work 11 to 8. So it's a little bit of an odd shift.
That'll be hard because you'll be wasted by the end of the day.
Yeah.
So forget this recommendation.
Yeah, no, technically I try to spend a little more time at night. You know, like I find myself going to bed at like midnight on most nights on average. So it's like, I mean, if I could pull going to bed at like a 9 or a 10, then waking up at like a 5 or 6 a.m. might be more manageable. But with the way the nights are, it's like, by the time I get home, you know, I don't want to go to bed after I eat dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but well, yeah, I mean, it's been working out for me. Even with the day job, I've been able to still do a lot of interviews and just manage my time well.
Yeah, that's a secret. It's making time. It's just that this is obviously important enough for you to make it work, and that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join me on my show. I really hope people will go and check out your show. I know it's I've listened to some episodes and they're great. So
appreciate it. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, John. It's been good fun.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
Cheers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's episode with Marin Barquette. You can check out Marin's blog for his Inspiring Innovation podcast over at marinbarquette.com. It's marinbarquette.com. And you can check out my blog at voicesofmarketing.com. And if you could, go ahead and subscribe to my email list. I send out weekly updates with all the new episodes. Talk to you later. Bye.